go ahead and get this meeting going, Wendy? Did you do roll call or do you have to do?
Oh, we'll do flag salute first.
Okay. Two items are around the way, please. Lead us, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Check, Brad.
Let's pray together. Father, we live in a great country where we can come together and participate in our government. I am grateful for those in our community who want to be part of this process. I thank you for our supervisors who diligently look at all of the issues concerned about our people and our county. We appreciate their work. We give you thanks for all that they do. And then for the many people who work for the county in a variety of ways, we thank you for their service, their commitment, for their dedication to making this a better place for us to live. Thank you, Father. We pray for those who are part of the military action, and we just pray for their safety. Truly, as we think about fire season coming, we think of our firefighters, our other first responders. We lift them up for your safety. And Father, in all these things, we are blessed, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay. All right. Let's see. Real quick, the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority and receives no additional compensation. For roll call, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Here.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
Supervisor Kopseth.
Here.
And Supervisor Harris.
Present.
And I take it Chair Haupt is gone for the entire meeting, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
All right, so now we'll move on to presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. Do we have any public comments in the room? Mr. Everest. And when you're done speaking, please fill out a blue card on the table over there.
All right, thank you. My name is David Everest, E-V-E-R-I-S-T. I live in 98 Lake Estates. And I'm here to see about getting Lakeview Road open, because we only have one way in and one way out. And last summer we had a fire in there. The wind would have been blowing the other direction. People would have died. We really desperately need Lakeview Road open. And I get a phone that I believe a friend of mine over here got it to you, of empty lots, where they say they have a lot of people working. There ain't nobody there. And so I would ask this board for consideration to the fire warden to get the road open. And they put a new bridge in, and then they fenced it off and they got a gate on it. The old bridge that goes into the fish hatchery is blocked off from going up Lakeview Road. So for the residents that live in there, they could just give us the key code to go in. They don't have to open it to the public yet. It is a private road, and I appreciate some action on getting this open. I know you can't just decide it today, but I appreciate any help we could get for the residents that live out there, which is not that many. So that's about it. I hope everybody looks at the film that you got of mine. And well, I just pray that you all see the light. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don Marie Osh.
Daltrey. I also would hope that you would all see the film and realize, if you haven't been up there, I would ask you all to go up there. They have planted, they have thrown a lot of seed, which was great, but now this has turned into weeds. And one little fire, and it's going to be like talent. It's just going to swoop through there and take all the ranches. And this is an election year, I might also add. So you might want to think about not putting your constituents in danger right now. Fire is a really serious thing. And all of those ranchers vote, and they matter. So this road isn't private. They want to say it's private, but this is an old trail that's been there for a long, long, long time. And I've talked to many old people who know that it should be open. I don't understand why it's closed, and I don't understand how they get the ability to just close our roads just because they're a big corporation. I would ask you all to do your due diligence and please open this road, or at least give the residents the key so that they can get out in an emergency. You know, and if an ambulance needs to get through there, they've got to go around 15 more extra miles right now because they don't have the ability to get in. Fire trucks also. So please help the residents. Thank you. Max Messier.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comment?
Showing none online.
All right, so we will move on to the consent agenda.
5L for me.
Liz and Larry?
Yes.
Thank you.
And if there's nothing else, move to approve the balance of this consent agenda.
Second.
And if we could add to that approval, since we don't have chair helped here, to authorize the vice chair to sign or execute documents as
yes,
well.
Yes, that's part of motion. How's that?
And that was Supervisor Obrin for the second?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Obrin?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
And Supervisor Harris?
Aye. All right, so item L.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So looking through this I'll call it the deliverables, it's mainly, I don't know how to describe it, administrative and not a lot of grassroots. How much money actually gets feet to the ground? I don't know how else to say it.
So, Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services. The schools are here, I believe. They can speak to that. This grant is a pass-through through behavioral health, but they're the lead agency on this grant, so we can speak to that.
So, and it's a pass-through. Who is it going to? Is it?
The County Office of Education.
It is.
To develop a workforce. This was a grant that was approved by the board several months ago, if not longer, and this is just extending the grant term, the term of the grant.
Hi everyone, I'm Mark Taylor, Associate Superintendent, SSU County Office of Ed. The grant will be able to fulfill things in partnership that this department might not necessarily have the capacity to do so. We're looking at universal screeners, we're looking at hiring wellness coaches. What those universal screeners do, they identify what our students need proactively throughout Siskiyou County and then aligns their needs with services. So that would be what the bulk of the grant is being used for.
And does it, so recently California has joined World Health Organization. Is that going to have any effect on, I guess, the criteria that will come down through this grant?
I don't believe so. This grant is well in progress, right?
Okay.
I don't believe so.
So it is mainly administrative, is
what
I'm hearing.
This particular portion of the grant is to train the workforce. It's directed at high school students, and so the behavioral health aides, you guys call them something different.
Wellness coaches.
The wellness coaches. So it's to develop that workforce and create a career pathway for high school students who are interested in going into this work. There's a huge need behavioral health providers,
right? And this is an entryway
into that.
Okay, thank you. Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you.
And the second? Oh, thank you. Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Obrin?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Thank you.
We'll move on to item six, departmental requests, Health and Human Services, Social Services Division.
Good morning, Mr. Vice Chair and members of the board. Trish Barbieri, Director of Social Services Division with the Health and Human Services Agency. In December, we came before the board and presented some department statistics, and Mr. Chair asked us to return with some historical trends in those stats. And so we return today to provide some updated statistics for you with historical trends.
Good morning, Kirk Hendricks, Deputy Director of Admin Services. So, and I think are you going to?
You want your numbers first or your graphs?
Numbers first, please. So I'm going to start with the quarter two caseload statistics. So in CalWORKs, we had 1,346 cases pertaining, or having 3,469 people, and we spent right about $1.4 million. For CalFresh, we had 16,483 cases with 27,034 individuals, and spending right over $5 million. Medi-Cal, we had 26,987 cases with 48,956 people. We don't have any expenses in that is expended through the state. General Assistance, we have 139 cases with 139 people, and we spent $42,860. Foster care, we had 250 cases with 250 people, and we spent $667,719. Adoptions, we had 717 cases with 717 people, and we spent $1,366,210. Adult Protective Services, we had 323 referrals. IHSS, we had 1,569 cases with 6,205 individuals, and it cost us a little bit over $2 million. We had no CMSP, and we had 12 public guardian cases with 12 people, and we don't have expenses for that, as that is their own money, not county money. New cases for the quarter, we had 29 new CalWORKs cases, 404 new CalFresh cases, 486 new Medi-Cal cases, 12 new general assistance cases, 11 new foster care cases, 9 new adoptions, 32 new adult protective services, 30 new IHSS, and no CMSP or public guardian. For fraud, we had one early fraud for CalFresh, nothing for CalWORKs. We had 13 ongoing for both CalFresh and CalWORKs. We had no trafficking for either program. We had one prosecution in CalFresh and one conviction in CalFresh from a case from 2023. And then the next two pages are just the monthly breakout of the quarter. I won't re-go over those numbers. So we're actually move on to the historical trends.
So before you leave that first screen, on Medi-Cal person count, that's higher than the population of Siskiyou County.
So that is a three month.
Oh, it's total. Okay.
Yeah, total of the quarter. So if you look at the next two pages, it has it broken out on a monthly basis. So it looks like in October we had 16,366, November was 16,308, and December was 16,282.
Well, okay, I don't agree. Because, I mean, you're just tripling the monthly, you're timesing three, but yet, so it should be the amount of cases served, shouldn't it be?
Well, this is what the total for all 3 months are. So we report to the state on a monthly basis, so we're just doing the total quarter cases.
I get what you're saying, but when you say person count and it's higher than the population, it doesn't compute for me. You get where I'm going?
Yeah, I see where, yeah. We could
think about it, but it doesn't add up.
Yeah. Okay.
I know what you're trying to say, but
we'll look at that and kind of see if we can dive into the data and pull the total case. Yeah.
Thank you.
So looking at the historical trends, we'll start with CalWORKs. So I went back to 2019. So starting in 2019, we had about 1,830 cases. We have trended downwards where we're currently at 1,346 for last quarter. We were spending about $1.1 million per quarter, and now we're at $1.4. The next one is CalFresh. We started at 6,943 cases. We have trended upwards. We're now at 16,483. We were spending about $2.5 million. We maxed out about $7.5 million per quarter in quarter two of 22-23, and now we're spending about $5 million a quarter.
So 16,000, that's like a third of our population.
Mm-hmm. Cases, yeah.
I think that's telling when we deal with our representative, when you talk about the effects of HR1, all the things that are coming down the pike, mm-hmm. we're gonna get body slammed.
Yes. It's coming.
So the next one is our Medi-Cal caseload. We've kind of held steady between 25,000 and 31,000 cases. We're sitting at 26,897 as of last quarter. And again, this is the 3 month total. So when we come back next time, we'll get the monthly one instead. Then next is general assistance. We were at 124 at the beginning of 2019, spending about 33,000 a quarter. We are now at 139, spending about 43,000.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
How many employees do we have handling each of these cases? What's our workload look like?
Good morning, Corey Watson, Deputy Director of Social Services. So our general assistance caseload, that is worked by one worker that then is supervised by a supervisor and a program manager. So each of those cases require an investigation by SIU to occur, and then they also are 100% case review. So the case count for general assistance is
about 30 a month.
30 a month or so. So that worker does general assistance, and then they do other programs like tribal TANF and those types of things. For our Medi-Cal, I am not sure how many FTEs we have right now, approximately 25, and those eligibility workers work CalFresh and Medi-Cal. They're not specialized in one program, they work both of those. And then CalWORKS, we have a unit of four who does all intakes and then ongoing management of those cases. So their caseload's approximately...
CalWORKS.
I think we have it on here.
CalWORKS?
Yeah, like 225 for CalWORKS. And the CalFresh Medi-Cal, those caseloads are very high for those workers. Pre-HR1, that work was annual redeterminations. There was no work requirements. So that work is going to increase significantly for those workers that carry CalFresh and Medi-Cal with the changes from HR1.
Supervisor Egan, thank you for the question. I think it's important to actually give you the total of staff that we have, because it isn't just eligibility workers that are processing these cases. You think about from the time when a person walks through the door or submits an online application through portals, online portals that we have. So there's a lot of handoffs and handling that happen, whether it's our clerical staff or our fiscal staff who actually work with a lot of the collections and overpayments and things of that sort to the eligibility workers, to our fraud staff. In total, we have about 100 staff who are handling all of these cases.
Is that enough? I'm asking because is it enough to handle not only the stability of our staff,
right,
you know, overload and burnout, is it also enough to satisfy the needs of the customer?
Great question. There's definitely an ebb and flow to our staffing levels. In my 30 year, and I'll be with the county 30 years in July.
Congratulations.
And thank you.
And thank you.
In all of that time, we've had one day where we have been 100% staffed. I remember we celebrated. It was one day. And then the next day, of course, the resignation happened. And so oftentimes, you know, there's just ebb and flow of staff coming in, going out, transferring to other departments, retiring. Medical leaves that are, you know, for extended periods of time hurt us because we can't backfill behind them. But we do run with a vacancy rate every month, 15%, 10%.
It's lower now than it has been in the last 10 years. We've really been working towards strategies of training and staff retention and recruitment to get that recruitment timeline down. So our staff, and although they carry the caseloads, their coworkers help them. We really work on office morale and teamwork. It's not the perfect scenario. Our HR1 survey said that we would need 8 additional FTEs to be able to do the work that HR1 is going to require. But the reality is we currently have a vacancy rate. Adding 8 more positions just is not realistic with recruitment efforts.
We work very closely with the personnel office in trying to do these recruitments back to back and close our list as quickly as possible in order to do another recruitment. I mean, it is constant for all of our positions.
Thank you.
But thank you for that question. I think where we can get more staff, we would, you know, I'd wiggle my nose in a second to make that happen. We're challenged sometimes just with the labor market and the background process that our positions require.
Is that the same throughout the state?
Yes, it is. And it's actually this, it's been this way for decades. I recently read an article from the 80s that was printed about the human services director was talking about the challenges with the work and not being able to keep up with the legislative changes as well as the turnover. And so it is a historical issue across all social services divisions and departments.
Understood. Thank you.
So moving on to the next one is our foster care caseload. In 2019, we started at 302. We've been trending downwards. We're currently at 208. We were spending $635,000. Now we're down up to $668,500 a quarter. For adoptions, we started at 693 cases. We're up to 717. It's kind of gone up and down throughout the years. We were spending $1 million, and now we're spending $1.36 million. Next is adult protective service referrals. We started at about 162. It's been trending upwards. We're at 323 as of the last quarter. In-home supportive services, we started at 1,747. We kind of stayed consistent until about quarter one, 23-24, and we've trended downwards. We're at 1569. The expenses we are through our IHSS MOE, it increases 4% every year, no matter what our actual costs are. So you can see every 4 quarters it goes up a little tick and then it flattens out. And then that's the last graph. Questions?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trish?
Yes.
Did you save me your paperwork?
Save my paperwork?
Yeah, because I don't print mine out.
Yes, I will save it
thank
for you.
You.
Okay.
We're trying to economize here, you know.
Got your name on it. Thank you.
Move on to item B, County Clerk.
Yes, this is a request from the County Clerk regarding both upcoming elections. The June 2nd, which is the primary election, and also the November 3rd would be the general election. And it's asking to either reschedule or cancel both of those meetings in order to allow staff to be available for the clerk's office coverage and to assist voters.
I'd cancel.
Yeah.
And if we need, we could always have a special arrangement.
Yeah, agree.
That would be my motion.
Second.
And that would be to cancel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was June 2 and November 3?
And next week.
I mean, we can take them into, okay. We can take them in 2 motions if you prefer.
No, one motion, both
okay.
Of them.
Okay, and November 3. And that was Mr. Kopsek. All righty. Let's see, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Oprah.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsek.
Aye,
Nancy.
You don't try to
and Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, the board will recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Under item 7, is there any public comment?
Showing none on that.
Item B, consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
All righty, Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Okren.
Aye.
Director Kopsek.
Aye.
And Director Harris.
Aye. Minute approval for March 17th.
I've received no corrections.
Move
for
to
those.
Approve.
Second.
Let's see. Give me just a sec. All right. Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Okren.
Aye.
Director Kopsek.
Aye.
And Director Harris.
Aye.
Thank you.
So we will adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and reconvene as the Board of Supervisors. Move on to item 8A, County Clerk.
Okay. All righty. This is a scheduled vacancy for the County Service Area Number 3, CSA 3 Advisory Committee. This is a member at large position, and it would have a term ending January 10 of 2029. We did our normal posting of the vacancy notice like we usually do, and we did hear from, received a letter of interest back from incumbent Tom Hastings asking for reappointment.
Move to approve.
Second.
That was Hastings. All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Oberyn.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth.
Aye.
And Supervisor Harris.
Aye. Item B, County Clerk.
The next one is an unscheduled vacancy. This is on the Happy Camp Cemetery District, and it's for a term ending January 7th of 2030. One of their board members, Kathleen Toland, is unable to continue on the district board. We did our normal posting, as we usually do with these vacancies, and at the time the worksheet was created, we had not received any letters of interest. I ask that we continue that item until we do. It doesn't need to be a motion, just the chair.
Okay.
Just say,
so we'll continue.
We're good to continue. Thank you.
Move on to 9A, minute approval for March 17th.
And I've received no corrections on those either. Oh, well, sorry, actually I did. Shoot. I almost forgot. If you take one and pass those down. I heard from Chair Houghton, he just had a question or a little bit of a correction on the item. Was under County Administrator, the letter to the California Fish and Game Commission expressing support for the Siskiyou County Fish and Game Commission's petition to amend a certain section. This had to do with trail cameras. Mm-hmm. And we're going to correct it from brief discussion followed regarding the need to refine the draft letter and bring back before the board for consideration at the next regular board meeting. And it was corrected, will be corrected to brief discussion followed regarding the need to refine the draft letter and bring back before the board for consideration at a later meeting following further review by interested parties. And if that works, there were no other corrections.
So moved with
second.
Corrections.
Thank you. With corrections. And do I have a second?
Yep.
Oh, thank you. And that's just for the March 17, or would that be for both?
That can be with both, as long as you didn't have corrections on the
And I don't believe we had anybody abstaining.
I'm good with that.
Okay, thank you. And all righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Supervisor Oberyn.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth.
Aye.
And Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Thank you.
So we will move to item 10, public hearings. We will open the hearing. Community Development Planning Division public hearing to consider a resolution approving an amendment to existing ag preserves and a resolution approving the rescission or reentry of existing Williamson Act contracts under application APA 2408 and finding that the project exempt from CEQA, and a resolution directing staff to issue a notice of non-renewal for 437.66 acres under Williamson Act contract 20003A for the Emerson Williamson Act Amendment Project, located approximately 2.5 miles northwest of the community of Gazelle.
Haley Lane, Community Development Director. Brenda should be walking in soon, but I will kick this off for her. Let's see. So on June 7th, 2024, the county received an application for a tentative parcel map to reconfigure 1,302 acres of land. The tentative map would reconfigure 11 parcels into 10, ranging in size from 61 to 182 acres. This map was reviewed and conditionally approved by the Planning Commission on May 21st, 2025. In order to facilitate the tentative parcel map, the application also proposed to amend the existing Williamson Act contracts and agricultural preserves accordingly. The applicants proposed to increase the acreage in agricultural preserve and under the contract by 0.2 acres and include additional property that is already encumbered by Williamson Act contract but not part of the tentative map portion of the project. The proposal is necessary as property under their ownership is under a multi-owner contract, and portions of the parcel are under different contracts. During the review of each proposed contract, it was found that the resultant DOM contract does not meet the minimum requirement of 40 acres or the class 1 or class 2 equivalent soils. Also, the resultant SBI contract does not have commercial agriculture uses occurring. The property owners were notified that these two contracts would be recommended for denial. Additionally, the resultant Humanity for Horses parcel is not proposed to receive a new contract, but should be addressed as the Humanity for Horses does not have commercial agriculture operations on their property. Those conclude my comments. If you want to add anything, I just set it up for you.
Sorry, printer issues. So I'm not sure what all he went over, but this is Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. So the county received a tentative parcel map application, which proposes to reconfigure 11 parcels, some of which are within ag reserve, some are not. That parcel map was approved by the Planning Commission on May 21st, 2025. It's currently under review prior to recording. So to facilitate this parcel map, the preserves and contracts have to be addressed to reflect the new boundaries. Staff recommends that we have to rescind the proposed property from the existing Williamson Act contracts, amend the existing ag reserves to remove the subject property, and create a new ag reserve and resultant contracts for each property owner. As a result of the parcel map, 16.1 acres not previously encumbered by contract or within an ag reserve will become part of a larger parcel. This 16.1 acres should be included in the new contracts and ag reserve. 16.63 acres will be transferred to a parcel owned by Humanity for Horses. This should be issued a notice of non-renewal because they do not have commercial ag use. 156 acres will be under the DOM ownership. This 156 acres does not meet soils requirements and should be issued a notice of non-renewal. 147.92 acres is owned by SPI and does not have a commercial ag use and should be issued a notice of non-renewal. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15317, adopt the resolutions amending the Green Stack contracts and agricultural preserves, and recommending that the board issue another non-renewal for the subject parcels that no longer meet requirements. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence.
There's no correspondence at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence?
Showing none online.
Public comment?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents?
Showing none online.
So we're going to close the hearing and open it up for discussion with the board.
Through the chair. So I know we've been working through this for a while. Everybody's on the same page?
Yes, I spoke with all the property owners that we're recommending non-renewals on, and they're aware of the reasons why and did not provide any comment or opposition to it.
Okay.
They said they understood.
Okay, they're good with it. Okay, I would make the recommended motion.
1 second.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, before we go into closed session, do you guys want to do board and staff reports?
Nothing at this time.
I'll pass.
Pass.
I'll pass as well. See if you have anything?
We'll pass.
Okay, so we will go into closed session.